Okay, class, welcome to Living by the Book. I am DM Thompson, and this is, I think it's the first year students. So welcome to EIWTC. I know you've been to other classes, but this is Living by the Book. So the class is basically, and it basically says what it is, living by the book. But most of the time, that's not the concept that people have when they are actually trying to follow the scriptures or follow the Bible or be students of the word. Living by the book does not mean, and it kind of sounds funny, it doesn't mean just living out or living by the rules of it or living by the principles. But the word living comes from the word life, which means there should be life in there and it should be changing your concept of what life is. So there's a few scriptures that we'll start off with and it'll be foundational for this class, for this semester, and we'll be kind of going back to these four. It's four foundational scriptures that I want to really touch on. We'll do some things in the book because I want us to get to the point to where studying the word is not a task, but an opportunity, right? I know growing up a lot of times and even coming to word in the traditional church, it always seems like a duty, like, you got to make sure you study the word, right? You got to make sure that you're reading the word today. You got to read your word for the day, right? But we've got to get past reading the word for the day and being the word all day long. And this is the key. And so one of the number one scriptures is John chapter 1. You can turn over there real quick. John chapter 1, verse 14. And it's one of our foundational scriptures. And I want to say this, that we're getting away from principle and moving into personality. The Bible is a story about who you and I are and the place that we sit in the history of God and his makeup and who he is and what he's intended from the beginning, right? Many times we can get caught up on trying to work the word instead of being the word, or we try to quote the word instead of speaking life from the word as being the word, right? So verse 14 is John chapter 1, and we'll read the key, one of the key things in this class also is context. You learn a lot about context. You can't make contact without context. So if one of the, I think the the biggest errors that has happened in ministry and preaching is that being biblically selected. What do we do? All right, you want to teach on faith, so you find three or four scriptures on faith and you try to expound on it. Or you try to connect all these scriptures from different places in the scripture about that key word or that thing that you, the subject you want to talk about. But in actuality, sometimes you can be biblically selective and be picking and choosing certain things out of certain passages without knowing the context of what's going on. Context. Who they're talking to. Where are they? You know, almost to the point you use your imagination to what time of day is it? Does that matter, right? Is the wind blowing level, right? Right? Like I know there's a lot, but just being able to put yourself into the context of what's going on so you can understand the content of what's being said, right? A lot of times I've learned this and I've seen this over and over again, that scriptures or even passages or even conversations are taken out of context, right? And it's very tricky, especially when administering or ministering the word of God. Minister means to pass out. The word minister simply means to pass out. There's going to be a lot of word definition and clarification in this class as well. The word minister simply means to pass out. So a lot of times in passing out the understanding of who we really are, hear how I'm saying it, in passing out, that's what ministry is, passing out the understanding of who we really are, sometimes being biblically selective, right, or not understanding the context for yourself and the context that it puts you in relationship with God. If you don't understand it, then you relay the wrong message. Then you'll be relaying principles that are dead without the personality. And we'll see that in one of the scriptures that we go to. But in John chapter 1, verse 14, it's really simple. It says this, and the word is talking about Jesus, right? But it's also talking about you as well. And we'll see that further on in this class. And the word was made flesh. Let's stop there. Before I even read the rest of it, about it dwelt among us and beheld his glory, and glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's stop right there. And the word was made flesh. If you look at verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. Then he says, and the word, you could go a little further down, and the word was made flesh. What are you telling me? That means the word of God is not just something on the paper in the books and or something to be read or to learn or some kind of law or principle to memorize or to learn. And those things are good, right? But it's actually a thing that should be manifested and materialized in our actual being of who we really are, right? And if this word, what we call the word of God, if the word of God does not become who we are as our identity, then we have lost the point of it all. Now we're just babbling and vain conversations and vain messages, trying to sound smart, living off the tree of knowledge of good and evil and never being the tree of life. All right, hear me out. So the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, somebody may say, well, that's talking about Jesus. What does that have to do with me? Well, further on and later on in this class, we'll see that Jesus puts us in the same category, in the same makeup, in the same DNA, in the same relationship with the Father as he is, right? So we have to understand, and let's get this through our heads. I don't know what you've heard before and what your concept is, but sometimes we got to break down to build. Let's get this through our heads that the word is becoming flesh in me as me. Say it. The word is becoming flesh in me as me. Now, really, I'm just recognizing that I am the word of God. God, when God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and then did it, right? So he was a word first, right? Man was a concept first in the mind of God first, right? So this is who we are. We are the word. And if it's, you can turn over to John chapter 5, and I may go through these pretty quick, and we'll expound on them another time in more detail, in another class in more detail. John chapter 5, verse 39, and this is Jesus talking. And of course, you have to read up and down below it and above it to get the context of who he's talking to. And this will be one of the things in our class to make sure that we are leaning in to the context around everything, right? But in 39, he says, search the scriptures. Yeah, that's what study the word, right? We're not foreign to that. Like, search the scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life, right? I mean, we've been searching, trying to get on God's good side, right? Or trying to live under the precepts of the Father, right? Never knowing that the Father's full intention for your life is to recognize who he is in you, as you. Yeah, we'll read about the Son, then getting mad with Jesus, calling God his Father, making him equal with God. We'll come with all those conversations. You say, well, and the reason I'm a stickler for starting with, when it comes down to the word, I am a stickler for starting with Jesus. I never said Moses was the word in the flesh. I never said Elijah and David, all our favorite Bible characters, I never said they were the word in the flesh. When they talk about the word in the flesh, they were talking about Jesus. Now they were, but they didn't know they'd have access to it. They didn't know who they were in the concept of who they believed that they were according to the relationship with the Father. But now Jesus begins to be the foundation for my perspective. Hear what I'm saying? Becomes the foundation for my perspective on the entire scripture. So watch, he says this, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they, watch what he says, that testify of me, which testify of me. And we would read the scripture for years, and you know, we would make sermons out of them, different things of that nature. And sometimes we skip and we never get to verse 40. And verse 40 says, watch this, it's strange. And you will not come to me that you might have life, right? So that means you search the scriptures looking for eternal life, right? And they're testifying of Jesus, but you won't come all the way to him to find out what life really looks like as who you are, to really show you what life looks like in the flesh. All right, let's go another one. John chapter 6, flip over a chapter. John chapter 6, and I'm going to expound on these more in these classes. John chapter 6, I just want to lay a foundation for where we're going. John chapter 6, verse 63. And you've heard some of these scriptures before, but in verse 63, and once again, you got to read the context, it says, it is the Spirit, right? The word Spirit means breath. It means wind, right? Without breath, you are if you lose your breath, like if your breath ceases to exist on the inside and out of you and be able to take in and take out, inhale, exhale, you will not be alive. So it is the Spirit, the breath, that makes life. Quickeneth means make alive. It don't mean fast, right? It means make alive, right? It is the Spirit or the breath that makes life, makes something alive. the flesh by itself profits nothing. In other words, your body could be laying here in great shape, but if there's no breath going in and out, this is powerful. Think about breathing in God and breathing out God. In the beginning, God breathed in the man, and man became breath of life, and man became a living soul, right? Think about every time I breathe, I'm breathing in the breath of God. How I access the Spirit of God is by, just like I access breathing, right? Breathing in, breathing out, everything that I am is about it, right? In you I live, I move, and I have my being, right? Like these concepts. So it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Watch this. He says the words... And we're going to get to another one with the same thing as Jesus talking. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, right? And they are life. He says, but there's some, in the verse 64, and I usually don't go there, but verse 64 says, but there's some of you that believe not, right? It's the words, he says, the words that I speak to you. I would say, well, he said, why didn't he say all the words? Everywhere, no, he said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, in the structure of our physical makeup, our bodies, our bones are important. Yeah, and our skin is important. They say the skin is the largest organ of our body. If you know anything about the biology and the science part of it, the skin is considered an organ, right? And, you know, even, you know, sometimes we get dressed and it's important to keep ourselves together and, you know, keep ourselves manicured and even like the most important, like my, our vessels and all these things, they matter. They're very, very important. But all of those things perfectly put and set together without breath is inanimate. It can't function. Even the blood that flows, and I don't want to kind of like, sound like a science class, but even the blood that flows through your veins is carrying that breath or oxygen to your muscles for them to be alive and to your organs. The purpose of the blood, oh God, the purpose of the blood is to carry the spirit or to carry the oxygen or to carry the breath. This is what it is. So now you have blood, which is DNA. You have breath, which is the breath of God. We'll talk about that another time. But it's all those things together. But the words that I speak unto you, living by the book, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, how can you live by the book if you don't know the book is alive? Right? If you don't know this is the real live organic thing that is meant to show me what I look like as a sent one here to accomplish what God's will is in the earth realm, right? So if I set it aside and I see that it's a principle or a class, right? Or a sermon or a curriculum or a training, then it no longer becomes alive to me and I have the wrong perspective and therefore I can't receive it as a live organized organism, right? They say even, you know, sometimes in health, they tell you eat live foods, right? Eat live foods. Why? Why? Because you're life. So why would I eat something that's synthetic that doesn't match my makeup, right? This word is alive. This word is alive. So the Bible's a story about you. You can find yourself in the scripture. A lot of times, and we'll have this conversation as well about the name of Jesus, or the name, the word names means character. So when we say in the name of Jesus, we're talking about in the character of Jesus. Well, you say, what is character? Well, your character is your makeup, what you believe, what somebody believes about you, your integrity, how you would do something, how you think about things, how you see things, how you perceive it, how you function. What does somebody expect when they come into you? Your name is everything, right? Your name is your character. But even the word character makes me understand, you know, if you ever been in a play, there's a role that you have to fill and there are lines, there's a script, church, that you have to have to fulfill your part in that play, your part in that story, right? And so all through this, Jesus is really showing us what lines are ours. I can't get into it now, it'll be another class we'll do, but he's showing us that what lines are ours and what character or what role should we really be playing? Whose role should we be assuming in the scripture? Should I be Moses? Should I be David? Should I be Elijah? Should I be Elias? Should I be whoever, Solomon? Should I be all these people? Or is my role that I'm assuming, should it be the same role of Jesus? Listen to what I'm saying. We'll talk about it more. One more scripture that I want to use to lay the same foundation of this class. John chapter 15. And the verse is 3, but you know, you read the context of that. He says, I'm the true vine, my father's husband. We go down to verse 7. A lot of us will memorize that. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. They live in you. Ask what you will. They abide. They stay. They live in you. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Now remember, every time we see the word words, right, we have to think of life and we have to think of word in the flesh. It sets us up in the beginning of John. And the word in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. All right, hear me, all right? And it says it again, and the word was made flesh. So we know that the word is an alive, functioning, organic identity that's a being. Okay, this is what the word is. The word of God is alive. So when we understand this, now when we see the context of the word, we go through. So now John 15 and 3, verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Right? It's talking about my identity is alive in you, right? But that's not even the scripture I was getting to. Verse 3, he says, now, watch what he says, Jesus talking about. And let me read the first couple of verses so you get it. I am the vine, John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the vine and my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Here we go. And we get to verse 3, says, now you are clean through the word. We quote it sometimes and say the words. No, it don't say words. It's one, it's singular. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What is he saying? Now you are cleansed from all other identities, all other failures. You are cleansed from, you are clean from all other mentalities about who you are, how you are, and what your relationship is in this system of God and this lifetime that we're living and the plan of God as a whole. Now you are clean from all other identities, all other pathways, all other discrepancies in your mind about what's going on and who you are and how we are. Now you are clean through the word or the identity or the life that I've spoken unto you. So within those, and this class will be one of the shorter classes, and I really don't take a long, long time in my classes because you can go over this over and over again. So in the middle, in the process of what we are journeying through, I'm going to call it a journey through the word, right? With these foundational scriptures, studying the word, your concept of studying the word is going to change. You know, there's a line in the book, which is funny. It says, you know, sometimes studying the word of God or having to learn the word of God is almost like eating shredded wheat, right? Like the shredded wheat cereals. Nobody liked the shredded wheat. Everybody wanted the Fruit Loops or Frosted Flakes or the, but nobody wanted the shredded wheat until there was time to like get super healthy, right? But it feels like eating shredded wheat instead of eating strawberries and cream. Now, strawberries may not be your fruit of choice, but I'm just talking about something that is enjoyable. So you fill in the blank on whatever that is, right? But the word of God is going to start, is going to get to the point to where it's not a duty, but you're going to be running after, you're going to be mulling it over in your head all day long, not to accomplish something or not to believe God for something or not even to be a minister or to deliver a message or message deliverer, but you realize that you are actually learning your identity. This is your ID. You're actually learning more and more about who you are. And I'm telling you, I love it so much. Even talking right now, I can feel it, that I love it so much that when I approach the word this way, understanding that I'm learning my identity and I'm recognizing who God, my Father, my Creator, and my Sender, the one that sent me here, is showing me about the capabilities of Himself in me. Oh, I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of the understanding. It's like even the same scriptures even peel back more. It'll be a scripture like these scriptures that I've read these scriptures tons of time, even use them in classes, use them in messages. But even now, at this moment with us right now, as we're sitting here, these scriptures are folding. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. These scriptures are folding out. They're peeling back more layers. The more I visit, the more layers are peeled back. And the more the layers are peeled back in the word, they're peeled back at me. They're peeling those layers or those things that have been caked up on my mindset and my mentality. And it's peeling me back and opening me up and realize, oh, I didn't even realize that was in me. Oh, I didn't even realize that was a possibility. Oh, I didn't even see it that way. Oh, it's such an amazing journey to the point that when you don't want to put it down, you're all day thinking about it, even in your functioning of maybe at work or at the job or with your family, even in those moments, it is so much flowing in your mind and in your thought process and in your ingraining that it starts to become your answer in the conversation. It becomes, it moves from making a decision to being decision, to being the decision. Like it almost comes out automatically. Watch this. I'll say this and then class will be over. Watch this. It gets to the point to where the word of God becomes instinctual to you. Now, I'm not talking about quoting a scripture or something. No. I'm talking about it becomes your the beginning of the word instinct is in. It becomes your instinct. The same way that your heart is beating right now and there's nothing, the same way you're breathing without practicing, right? You're breathing without meditation. It becomes instinctual to you. It gets you back to your first nature, your first mind, and in the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ becomes your primary first nature, your first go-to whenever encountering or engaging or approaching something, right? It becomes who you are and how you are, and you recognize your true nature in God. All right, this is going to be a great class. It's going to be a good year. I'm excited about it. I'll see you next class. I'll just see you next time.